Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I gotta tell you, I am so confused, genuinely, by Yankee fans. There are Yankee fans I respect, Yankee fans I trust, Yankee fans I value the opinion of, who are not happy with the news that Aaron Boone decided to take a step into the future and move Anthony Volpe to the leadoff spot. I just saw Joe's McFly, who does a great job with John Boy Media, big emotional Yankee fan, react with, oh man, they're moving Volpe to the leadoff spot. Mm. You know what they say? If it's not broke, fix it. Or whatever that phrase is.
Don't fix it.
Don't fix it. And I do not get, I do not understand the Yankee fan who is viewing rewarding a young player who's been playing his ass off, who clearly looks like the leadoff hitter for the next decade, why it bothers you that on April 10th, Aaron Boone is handing him the keys to leading off in front of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge as if this is going to lead to bad things. You think it's going to lead to bad things?
I don't think it's going to lead to bad things, but it makes you ask the question, like, what is Volpe's hitting future? And what's he going to be?
A leadoff hitter.
No, but not obviously, that's what you believe, and that's what Aaron Boone believes, but I think a lot of fans, I don't know if they believe that.
Well, why not?
Like, because they believe that he might be a bit more than that. That they believe that he might be a 30 home run guy, a 30-30 guy, right? So being in the leadoff spot, while that's not going to hurt him or put him in a negative situation, it just creates less RBI opportunities for him.
Well, okay.
You know what I mean? Because if he's a consistent hitter, you should put him behind those guys that are getting on base, even though he also can consistently get on base. You know what I mean?
I disagree with that. I know what you're saying. I guess to some, if Anthony Volpe, who did it 21 home runs last year, becomes a 30-30 guy, which I certainly think he has a chance to do, that you'd value him more as a 4-5 hitter, I think that's crazy. I think a guy who potentially is going to get on base 39% of the time, hit a lot of home runs and steal a lot of bases and seize a lot of pitches. Like, everything I'm saying, that's a leadoff hitter. Like, that's not a cleanup or fifth place hitter in this modern age. That's a guy I want getting as many plate appearances as humanly possible.
But I think in people's minds, they still see it the other way.
Well, they're wrong.
They don't.
What's a leadoff hitter? That's what I would ask people. What is a leadoff hitter? I want to hear the description of what a leadoff hitter in baseball should be.
It's someone who has an on-base percentage close to 400.
I agree. Check.
Steals bases.
Check.
Steals bases.
Check. What else?
Maybe could hit home runs every
check.
Now and then.
Doesn't strike
Ricky
out.
Henderson. Doesn't strike out.
Volpe strikes out. I think a lot of people strike out. I think the strikeout thing is kind of gone. Like, Brandon Nimmo strikes out a lot. Now, I know there's some Met fans who maybe don't want him leading off, but you know what Brandon Nimmo does? And he doesn't even do half the things Volpe does. He gets on base at a high clip. That's the beauty of Brandon Nimmo, but he also doesn't steal bases. Like, to me, getting on base is number one. That's the number one priority of a guy who's my leadoff hitter. Get on base. And I think that's simple. Like, of course I want him on base. Mm-hmm. I got my big hitters at 2 and 3, and in the Yankees' case, it's Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. Getting on base is number one. Number two, if he gets on base, be kind of cool if he can steal a base or two. Anthony Volpe can clearly do that. He stole 24 bases last year. He's got 3 this year. He's easily in his sleep stealing 25 to 30 bases, and he'll probably get more than that. So he is a leadoff. Like, if you put a leadoff hitter in that machine and said, pop him out, what is he? It's Anthony Volpe. Like, he's a leadoff hitter. So I don't even know if the negative reaction is what you're describing, though maybe some have that. I think it's more you're afraid. You're afraid of what? Like, he's going to turn into a pumpkin?
Well, no, I think that's what Sean is afraid could happen.
I'm definitely afraid of that.
That he could go through a slump, and then he gets yo-yoed back down puts later in the order, and then his import gets lost. And so then what does he become?
Well, right? you think it's going to spiral his career?
No. I don't at all.
What are we worried about?
Yo-yoing can hurt guys' careers, young guys in baseball. It almost ruined Gleyber Torres when they yo-yoed him back to shortstop, back to second base. And Anthony Volpe is like our next prodigal son.
That was a nice try. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You had the letter right. You just had the emphasis wrong.
He had a lot of ups and downs this rookie year, and he's come out on fire. And I just don't want to overreact to that because I know that Anthony Volpe is not going to hit 390 this year, 400 this year. And my worry is because we didn't do it early, he is due to cool off. Like, we all admit, he is due to cool off.
If he goes 0-4 tonight, you're going to blame it on this?
I'm not going to blame it on this because he went hitless yesterday. But my worry is I may not blame it. There's going to be a lot of Yankee fans that do. And worst of all, I don't want Volpe blaming this on this and getting inside his own head.
It's almost because we're talking about going to the leadoff spot and that causing the slump.
Right.
It was almost like Aaron Boone was just waiting for him to cool off from being in the 5-6 slot to move him someplace. Like to have a bad day and say, all right, let's do it. Let's just do it.
Well,
it's like he was looking for an excuse to move him to lead off.
It also may be, despite taking an 0-4 yesterday, him realizing, you know, Gleyber's not off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
And Gleyber Torres is a nice player, doesn't profile as a leadoff hitter. Like, Gleyber Torres is only leading off because they need somebody to lead off. Like, he's not the profile. First of all, he's not a high on-base guy. He doesn't steal bases. So, two of the most important things you look for in a leadoff hitter, he doesn't even do.
He was there out of necessity because of the LeMahieu injury.
Absolutely there out of necessity. Look, there are guys, even before they get to the major leagues, where you look at their profile and you say, hey, that guy is the future leadoff hitter. The question is, when do you have the guts to pull the trigger on future? And the difference in opinion I have with you, and I guess a lot of Yankee fans, I'm not sure if it's a lot, but certainly some Yankee fans, is after 11 games and a great performance through 11 games, I'm willing to say, you know what, kid? Go do it. You are the future. Aaron Boone said something innocuous yesterday that I guess no one really read into that much, which is Anthony Volpe will be the leadoff hitter for like the next 10 years. And so people, in the future, he'll be the leadoff hitter for the next 10 years. I think that was like kind of the crux of the quote.
Well, if that's what the thought process is.
Of course it's the thought process. We just didn't know it was going to happen 24 hours later.
Well, it doesn't make any sense that it wouldn't.
What do you mean?
If he believes that Anthony Volpe is their future leadoff hitter for the next decade, then why not just do it now?
Exactly.
And I think that's what ultimately, it came down to
doing it now, and you're already hitting 375 with a 44 on base percentage. So why the hell not? Go for it. Boy, I'll tell you this. I hope he doesn't take an offer tonight. I don't want to hear these Yankee fans whining and blaming this for the reason.
I don't think they will.
Oh, yeah? You haven't met Yankee fans. I want to blame everything on Aaron Boone. Everything's Aaron Boone's fault. Aaron Boone is doing something correct, and he's being criticized.
And we're due for a Boone complaint. You're absolutely right. It's on the table tonight.
Well, I mean, it's hard when you're 11-2.
I know. Even when your leadoff hitter's doing nothing, they're still winning. Aaron Judge is doing less than nothing, and they're winning every single night. By the way, I advise you, if you haven't yet, to go to WFAN.com/draft. And on that website is where your voice can be heard in the Evan and Tiki's Top 20, which is brought to you by H.L. Gross Jewelers of Garden City. It is the top 20 list of the greatest New York draft picks of the last 50 years in honor of the draft, which is, of course, occurring 2 weeks from tomorrow. So the way it works is you vote, you nominate your guys at WFAN.com/draft, and that voice will be heard in coalition, if you will, with a very special panel of dignitaries who are also voting on the top 20. Then we'll have a list, a conglomerate of your voice and this panel's voice. And starting next Monday at 4 o'clock, right here on WFAN, every day at 4 o'clock, we will reveal four names, starting at number 20. Until a week from today, we reveal the top four. And it is very interesting.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. you've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To see some of the names that are being pushed. A lot of very interesting names. And I think we're going to have a lot to talk about next week in terms of who finished where and who made the top 20 and who ultimately walks home with the ultimate prize. And that is number one, Evan and Tiki's top 20. And of course, it's brought to you by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. You can vote at WFAN.com/draft. And of course, this leads up to the NFL draft, which is in a few weeks. And I was starting to do some research last night because I couldn't sleep after I stayed up all night. And I know that most Giant fans want a quarterback. I've kind of gotten to that feeling. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you do. I think you're more on the...
No.
You're not.
I'm not on the quarterback train.
You're not. You build the ass first kind of guy.
Yes, but they've already kind of done that in a sense. They started to bring in some free agent offensive linemen, and Stinney is one, even though he's more of a backup in that role. John Runyon, who we talked about when mm-hmm. that first happened. Illuminor as well, who is guard and tackle. And hopefully Evan Neal beats him out and he has to play guard and Runyon can go to left and as opposed to where he's slotted in right now at right guard. So they've started to do that.
Cheek implants. They got some cheek implants.
Yeah, exactly. But it never hurts to have hopefully high achieving, high expectation depth behind those guys or to supplant them.
Right.
But I mean, honestly, I think what they've done in free agency, it tells me that they're going wide receiver.
So you don't even think they're going to take a quarterback in the first round?
I don't.
Okay. I think they're going to have to trade up. Like, I think that's becoming painfully obvious that if they're going to want to draft a quarterback in the first round, they're going to have to move up probably to four. Because mm-hmm. I don't think three is necessarily on the table unless we really think the Patriots are trading back. Now, I did some research last night. And I tried to come up with, like, my conclusion. Because I wasn't sitting there watching college football every year. But I wanted to think and kind of find out, doing research myself, basic research, obviously, yeah. And an NFL scout, on if I'm a Giant fan, who do I prefer? Like, who would be the quarterback that excites me the most? And I have an answer.
Out of the four.
Out of the four. Well, I'm taking Caleb Williams out because you're not getting him.
Yeah.
I've decided to put Caleb aside because that's not even, like, in any kind of realistic scenario.
So it's three, and then Bo Nix and Michael Penix, who are later down.
Correct.
If you want to go backwards.
It's really Jaden versus JJ versus May. And tell me if you agree with my thinking on why I got to my conclusion.
Okay.
The conclusion I came up with, you want to guess? Which of the three guys I'm going to endorse publicly right now to you?
You're going to say Drake May.
You nailed it. I'm going to say Drake May. Do you know why I'm saying Drake May?
Because he's got three other brothers, and they're all dogs. And dudes,
first of
and
all,
they do damage and whatever they do. Oh, sorry, Loogie. he's had competition his whole life.
Are you Verdugoing him right now?
He's the youngest of four boys, and they've all had some level of success doing athletics or whatever it may
Those
be.
Those are some pretty good reasons.
And he went to North Carolina. He was highly recruited, and he was pretty damn good.
Those are great reasons.
Go ahead.
Not my reason.
Okay, what's your reason?
It's a very basic reason, but I think it's going to make a lot of sense. Sean's shaking his head like he knows what I'm going to say.
I think I do.
Because he reminds me of Josh Allen.
Bingo.
Yeah. No, you feel the same way?
Yes. He's got the strong arm like
yes.
him.
He's got the body the like
body,
him.
Strong
same right. height, same weight. Their college numbers are not like diametrically opposed. And the reason I come to that conclusion
it's
is
interesting.
What do we know about Brian Daboll? Really, Brian Daboll. Forget Joe Shane for a second. Because Brian Daboll is the guy who's going to work with this guy mm-hmm. every single day. That connection, that relationship is what's going to matter. And it's going to define Brian Daboll as a head coach. Obviously, yes. it'll define Joe yes. Shane as well.
For a guy who was hired because of the work he did with Josh Allen.
Bingo.
He is the quarterback head coach.
He's the quarterback head coach. So, look, is Brian Daboll a great enough football mind where he can take J.J. McCarthy and make him awesome? Sure, I guess. Jaden Daniels, sure. Michael Penix, sure. But I guess in my basic mind, and I admit, it's a very basic thought, but I'm being real with you. on why I went to the May camp is it reminds me of Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. And we've already seen Brian Daboll make it work with someone like Josh Allen. And so I think the closer we've gotten to this NFL draft, and we are, again, 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from tomorrow, we're finally there. The mocks are over. The speculation is over. I do kind of lean that they're going to draft a quarterback. And I've gone back and forth on it. I admit it. I have not been consistent at all in terms of my opinion on what the Giants are going to do. Now, I've had my opinion on what they should do. I thought Justin Fields would have been a great opportunity. It passed. It didn't happen. But they should add a quarterback because the odds of them drafting this high again and the odds of them being in a class with this kind of talent again, it's not very high. So you need to find your answer. And since they didn't choose the other things I thought were great ideas, they disagreed. Maybe a lot of Giant fans did too. That's fine. I do think they will and should add a quarterback. And I move into the May camp. Here's the problem, though. How are they going to get him?
Well, the challenge is that you have a division rival who is ahead of you that also needs a quarterback.
Mm.
And so is Washington going to trade with you?
No.
Exactly.
No. And you have to hope Washington doesn't take it.
You need to hope Washington takes the guy New England covets and that New England doesn't feel comfortable with a defensive-minded head coach making that selection of a guy they didn't covet.
Well, it's Jaden Daniels. You have to hope that Washington picks Jaden Daniels and that the Patriots then say, and here's the latest on what I read coming out of Boston. So from them, the Patriots are open to moving back, but it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And that's the dilemma. Like, if the Patriots are like, you know what? Okay, 6-3 or 3-6. We're game. We're interested. Are you going to be willing to pay more than what the Jets paid to move up from 6-3 to get Sam Darnold? Because it only cost the Jets a couple of second-round picks.
Yeah.
What I read coming out of Boston is they're going to want a future first. In fact, numerous potential firsts. If the guy's the answer, it's worth it. But, boy, is that a lot to
you. Well, the challenge is that there is the elephant that's sitting behind all of us right now.
Me?
No. You're in front of us. Talking about from a football standpoint, that is desperate for a quarterback. And they have the assets to go as high as they want. Hell, they could probably get the number two if they wanted to. And that's the Minnesota Vikings with their two first-round picks. And you know that they're going after a quarterback.
I think the Giants have the edge on Minnesota.
Well, they do
because they can offer you the closer.
Right. They have the sixth-round pick. But if you're, say, the New England Patriots and you're still espousing some of this Belichick mentality because Jared Mayo, even though he's his own guy and he's doing it very differently, I think, than Bill Belichick will, he understands the philosophy of how Belichick drafted for all those years. And so if you can move back out to the 11, what are they, 11, 11 and 23, maybe pass on the quarterback, it's just first year, right?
Yeah.
His first year. Alex Van Pelt is his offensive coordinator who was previously in Cleveland, worked with Baker for a little bit, and some of these other guys, Deshaun Watson. Maybe you go back, go with Jacoby Brissett for a year, and then go try to find your quarterback, but get some more pieces because their roster is bereft of talent right now.
Mm.
And so the only way I could see Minnesota going up and getting that pick is by going through New England, who will value later first-round picks. At least historically, they always have, even though it's a different regime now.
Picking six, though, is like you're moving back, especially if you decide not to take a quarterback, and you're going to get almost your pick of the litter. If you go from 3-6, that's the draw that the Giants have. Mm. I think the tough part is how far are you willing to go? Like, especially if your quarterback that you want is sitting there at 3. To me, it's Drake May. To others, it may be Jaden Daniels. I guess to some, it's J.J. McCarthy. I don't see it as much as others do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to? Because you can beat Minnesota. You really can. I don't think the Vikings have a second-round pick that they could trade. So they've got those two appealing ones, but the Giants also have a higher-up one, plus they've got a second, plus they could offer future first. Now, I don't know if the Patriots are playing a game, which is, you know what? We have no interest in trading out of this pick, but if we can get some kind of king's ransom, okay, yeah, we'll be open to it.
Yeah.
And is Joe Shane going to be willing to pay a king's ransom?
Well,
or is
no,
it a queen's
no.
ransom? Which one is it?
Kings.
I got it right. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think that there's... I've never heard of a queen's ransom.
Never in my life.
I just wanted to make sure.
Right. Joe's not going to get done over by anybody, I don't think. And he also has a quarterback that he's paying $40 million a year.
Yeah, but come on.
I get it, but it's also he's also there, meaning Daniel Jones. He's also there. So as we think about this and the value... And the and what it's worth to go higher, you also have to realize that you have a guy on your roster that you're not just getting rid of tomorrow. Like, he's going to be there regardless. And there's a good chance that he gets an opportunity to compete, and he's spectacular. Stays healthy, and all of a sudden you drafted a quarterback, and you already – it's a good problem, like, but – you drafted a quarterback, but you have a guy who's playing at a high level.
Yeah.
That's you don't want to be there.
Decisions. If you're just tuning in, you're heading to Yankee Stadium. Anthony Volpe is leading off for the first time this season. Aaron Boone has made the move, a move we talked about yesterday, a move I am fully on board with. Let's go to Josh in Poughkeepsie. How are you, Josh?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
We're good.
What's up?
The only reason I wanted to say two quick points, one about the Yankees, one about the Knicks. Volpe, the reason why I'm not worried about it, and I agree with you, Evan, is because of the way they handled him last year when he went in that slump, and they easily could have, they had every reason to send him back down to AAA, and they didn't.
No, they stayed patient with him. In fact, I was doing some research. I heard, based on the WFAN Twitter account, that my current radio partner, Tiki Barber, was endorsing sending him down. I found that out. Mm. You were ready to give up on him.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
A year ago.
Look at that loyalty.
Ouch. He needed it.
Ouch.
He needed it.
Ouch.
Did anybody do a welfare check on Loogie after Verdugo hit that home run yesterday and he was barking in the entire dugout with the whole team?
Loogie is not in a good place right now. He is very bothered, not only by Verdugo stealing the dog act. And look, I want to admit this. I want to support my guy. Loogie started dogs, dudes, and damage. But not only has Verdugo stolen that, Verdugo's nickname now is Doogie.
It is?
Which sounds like Loogie.
He goes by Doogie?
Yeah.
What? You got to be kidding me with this guy. No, you know what? The Yankees need to trade this dude. That's where we're getting right now. No, seriously. Him. He's going to swap that for me, too? Doogie?
Doogie.
No. I've been Loogie here for like 10 years. Yeah. I've been going by that nickname.
No, I know.
So now this chooch is going to come here and go by Loogie and steal everything that I built for?
It's apparently what's going on, yes.
So the Yankees stole my childhood, and now they're stealing my gimmick. Okay. All right. Mm. I was calm for a little bit, but now I'm starting to get really friggin' pissed off.
But isn't it Aaron Boone who's doing it?
Well, Aaron, he could get traded, too. He can go to hell.
Aaron Boone is the one that's calling him Doogie?
Yes!
And Aaron Boone...
Oh, no, this is a collective effort to screw Tommy Lugauer.
Knows that Tommy Lugauer, Loogie, is the one who came up with Dogs and Dudes. It's pretty, damage.
It's pretty embarrassing what's going on right
now. Dude, we talk about you trolling us. I think Aaron Boone's trolling you, Loogie.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Yankees have completely stolen your gimmick.
And by the way, with the way that they started the season, they can play games with people.
Well, you know what they've been able to do? Not only are they playing games with people, they're getting people, prominent voices, to join in on the dog stuff and basically eliminate you. Look what Keith McPherson's doing. He's all dog. I love it.
It's all the Yankee fans.
Beware of dog, the dog shirts, John Boy's doing it. They're all doing
it. Shawnee was telling me Bald Vinny's creating something, cooking something up. All right.
Yeah, little teaser. I can't wait to get that shirt.
I'll take something from you, Aaron Boone. It's a long-ass season. And when you guys lose, I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting, because I warned you a week ago not to do this, and now you're doubling down, tripling down, so we'll see.
Are you putting the hex on?
Oh, yeah.
I think Boone and Doogie know.
Enough with the Doogie!
That's his name, though, bro. Like, what do you want us to do?
Boone and Doogie know what Loogie had is a good gimmick. Unfortunately, they need a team that can hold the water a little longer with it.
Wow. Taking shots at the Knicks?
I don't mean to. I'm not trying to be a Knick hater.
The Knicks are on their way potentially getting the two seed. Now.
I would not say this without Randall. We can get into this conversation at a different time. The Yankees can actually win a championship. I don't think the Knicks can. And I think Doogie and Boone know that.
Look, I think Loogie has to understand something, and Doogie has to figure this out, too. There's only one thing that can stop this. There's only one thing that can stop the gimmick infringement that's occurring. There's only one thing left to do. The New York Knickerbockers have to win the whole damn thing.
I don't think the whole thing.
No, the whole thing.
I think they just have to get there.
They have to get to the finals?
Get to the finals.
Okay, you know what? I'll give you that.
If they get to the NBA finals, you have to acknowledge this how great they've been.
This is the only way to save dudes, dogs, and damage. Because otherwise, it's going to be lost. The Yankees have taken it. The only comeback left.
It.
They have, bro.
They I'm haven't taken it.
They have.
No, it's just that more people need to realize where it started from. So that they could say, yeah, they really did take it.
Well,
they shouldn't be allowed to take it.
You know why? It's because we haven't heard you doing it.
He does it every time.
Yeah, you know why? Because I get bumped for Yankee games.
Exactly.
I've had it.
I'm not saying, I'm not like chastising you and not imploring you to be louder. I'm just telling you that the reason that they that people are taking it from you is because they haven't heard you do it.
Now, apparently Aaron Boone has been asked about the dog stuff.
Yeah, this from Max Goodman 1 minute ago. Aaron Boone was asked what dog the Yankees rally cry to start the year means to him. Boone's response, he paused, smiled, and said, "Dog, these ain't the Knicks. Get your Urban Dictionary out."
Are you serious?
I made up that this ain't the Knicks. It was just dog, get your Urban Dictionary out.
By the way, Aaron Boone is a big 76er fan.
Yeah,
so
I'm
trust
aware.
Me, I don't think he mind that.
Enjoy the play-in tournament.
Can you imagine if he actually did see the same things?
I have never seen Lugie as upset as he's been about what's been going on over the last few weeks.
I know it.
Because you got to understand this. This is so personal and so deep-rooted. This, you're talking about a kid who's 38, a guy, 38 years old. I grew up my entire life as a Met fan in a Yankee town. That'll be the name of my book in 20 years. I finally come up with something I cultivated, and now these guys, these fans are going to take it from me over my dead body. I will fight this to the bitter end. I've had it with this Verdugo guy.
You just need help. You just need help.
I'm sorry, it's not Verdugo guy. His name is Doogie.
Doogie.
Doogie. Doogie. That's what we call him. I mean, that's his nickname. I'm just being respectful. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Right. And to keep it New York, it's Doogie One Chain.
Doogie One Chain. Let's go to Ozzie and Woodridge. What's going on, Oz?
Hello, everybody. What's up?
What's up, man? Oz? Dogs do damage. What's up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't that start with Dion, by the way? He said he had dogs on the... No?
No, it all started with... Defense. It started with Tommy Lugauer, okay? Get it right.
Okay. By the way, Doogie is a nickname after a nerdy doctor on TV, fictional character, and Lugie is when you have a phlegmy spit that you hock out. So I think both better find a new nickname, but that would just be me. I don't know. Like Hockaloogie?
I understand. So I went to go see Doogie?
I wouldn't want to be called Loogie, but that's just me.
All right. That's you.
Is Eli allowed to be on that draft list because he was drafted by the Chargers? And before I continue...
It's a great question. It's a great question.
So mull that over and decide if that's allowable.
No, that's for the fans.
I want to remind everybody that my mother is over 80 years old. So if anybody mentions my mother in a derogatory way, they're a sick freak. But I want to address Sean's bitch eclipse because his booster is a little too tight today. And I want to ask him because when he was still fat, he buried the Islanders after the Rangers won their outdoor Stanley Cup. So I want to ask Sean, are you worried, Sean? You sound a little worried.
What the hell is going on?
Good impersonation, Ozzy.
Thank you, Ozzy.
I'm not worried because eight teams have to make it, so somebody had to make it.
God. You know what's so funny about this? Like, the way the Islanders have played recently, and I knock on wood when I say this, they have a really good chance, in fact, better odds than not, of being in third place in the Metro and not facing the Rangers in the first round of the playoffs. But what it would set up is not only an Islander-Carolina-Hurricane rematch from last year, where Carolina won in six, but it would set up the potential possibility of the Islanders and the Rangers in the second round of the postseason.
But that wouldn't be as bad for the Rangers.
Okay. That's a very good point. Let me respond.
Go ahead.
Yes, losing in the second round, not as bad as losing in the first round. But losing to the Islanders in any round is a hell that Sean and certain other Ranger fans cannot live
in. Yeah, but the Islanders have come from a long way out to be back in it. Now, they stay in it, and they win a first-round series against the Carolina Panthers. Not the Panthers.
Now Carolina Hurricanes.
You had that in my head because you said that earlier, Sean. Or actually, a caller did. The Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah. And then they're hot.
Yeah, well, they're hot now. They've won five in a row.
But so then they're officially like a team to be reckoned with.
Now, yes, but you're also creating an easier path for the Rangers by getting rid of the Hurts.
So them winning in the first round against Carolina would do nothing to alter your arrogance that the Rangers have no shot of losing to the Islanders.
I don't think
make that clear. I just want to know.
Yes, I don't think this is being arrogant. I think any Ranger fan would admit this. When you sit down, if the Rangers are cruising in their first round series or whatever, and it's Islanders, Hurricanes, and you know you get the winner, of course you're rooting for the Islanders because the Hurricanes are the better team.
No, but that's not my question.
But yes,
my
but you want the Islanders in that spot.
You have said on the radio today, and you have a great habit of being so right when you make these arrogant predictions.
I do.
That the Islanders have no chance to beat the Rangers in a playoff
series.
They
do not.
Okay. Mm. If the Islanders win a round by beating Carolina and it's the second round series, does your view on the Islanders change a little bit because they just will have won a postseason series against a pretty good hockey team that's been close to you in the standings all year in Carolina?
I would say the same thing that I keep saying, which is I think the Islanders probably would be better than I gave them credit for, but still, matchup-wise, I like the matchup. Now, I also shouldn't say no chance because, look, if you want to throw dirty elbows and shoulders at Mika and take guys out in a playoff series, that could lead to wins.
Interesting. Okay, if you want to hear the trial that was occurring between me and Sean with Judge Tiki concerning the hit from last night's Islander-Ranger game, you could rewind on the audio. Odyssey app to the top of the show at 2 o'clock. But a lot going on right now, including Anthony Volpe's maiden voyage of this season being in the leadoff spot. More thoughts on that coming up, plus what Giannis Antetokounmpo's injury does to the New York Knicks' chances of going on a deep postseason run. Now, this also could be kind of let's put something out there to make them look bad, but Adrian Wojnarowski is starting to reveal the details of why A-Rod's attempt to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves fell apart. And I bring this up because I think Met fans should listen very carefully to this, considering Alex was a bidder to buy the New York Mets. And there were Met fans who wanted Alex and J-Lo to buy the team, including my former partner, Joe Beningo. He was supportive of it, thinking A-Rod wants to win, all this kind of good stuff. According to ESPN sources, Timberwolves minority partners Mark Lohr and Alex Rodriguez submitted financial projections forecasting a sizable retreat in roster payroll that majority owner Glenn Taylor believed would jeopardize the franchise's ability to compete for a title. Hmm. They were planning on lowering payroll below the luxury tax threshold, which, let's face it, in this modern NBA, makes competing for a championship very difficult. And believe it or not, the Minnesota Timberwolves, while I don't view them as a viable championship contender, they are the one seed in the Western Conference.
True.
The reality is the reality. So if that's true, right, because that's the other thing. Like, is this being leaked out because, quite frankly, Glenn Taylor don't like A-Rod? Mm-hmm. He didn't want A-Rod to buy the team. He changed his opinion, whatever. If this is true, this is another indicator that we as Met fans are very fortunate that Alex Rodriguez did not get his hands on the New York
Mets.
Yeah,
but don't you think it would have been different? The financial projections in Minnesota have to be vastly different from financial projections in New York.
There were nobody at Citi Field the last couple of nights when they played at home, and yet Steve Cohen, and this is why I criticize him sometimes, but I also commend him.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets have the highest payroll in baseball.
Of course.
So, yes, they play in New York, but Yankee Stadium at 37,000 people last night, the Mets' last two games against Detroit didn't combine for 37,000 people.
I'll be interested to see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. But I'll be interested to see when they hit 500. Or
when they hit 500, I love it.
Sorry, Sean. When they hit 500 and when it gets nice outside, what it looks like over there. Like, yeah. Once they start playing like better.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not even about Met attendance. By the way, is that true? The Met game has been rained out?
Tonight's game against the Braves. Tonight's game against the Mets has been postponed due to forecasted inclement weather. The game will be made up, not tomorrow, on September 26th at 7:20.
Perfect.
What?
They have off days when they go back. I think that's around when they go back to Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken.
I have to look up the Braves schedule and go to football week three to get there.
So this four-game series became a three-game series with an off day in between.
Great news for the Mets. And I don't say that in terms of I don't want to play because I don't want to lose. I think the Mets needed an off day. I mean, their bullpen has been completely overworked. Mm. They've been calling up random guys, including a new guy they were calling up today. I said this on the Rico last night when I recorded it. It behooves the Mets to get a rainout. Mm. They have this consecutive streak of playing every single day. And then the other reason why I'm very excited about a rainout, can I be selfish for a second? Tonight!
You're not going to get it spoiled.
Me and Tiki are going to Staten Island for a My Mets Bible book tour. And everyone keeps asking, why am I bringing Tiki? Because I love Tiki.
Uh-huh.
Because Tiki is awesome. Tiki also ensures a few extra people show up.
And you won't get spoiled the Mets game.
Can I tell you the other reason why?
Why?
And by the way, this is a very important subject that I have not talked to him about off air, but I really feel strongly about it. Tiki Barber's like one of the nicest guys I've ever met. I said that in the back of my Mets Bible. You're a genuinely nice guy. You don't owe me anything. You don't have to do anything. And yet he's agreed to come to Staten Island tonight for My Mets Bible Book Tour. He's agreed to go to Queens on Friday night for My Mets Bible Book Tour. And genuinely, one of the nicest things a human could do, I thank you.
You're welcome, Evan.
But quite frankly, me saying thank you is not enough. So what I need to figure out from the audience, maybe from you, what do I give Tiki Barber for doing something as nice as what he's done? Because I got a text message from somebody I used to work with who told me, you better be getting something really nice for Tiki Barber.
I spoke to Robert Saleh last night.
You don't have to get me anything.
No, no, but I have to.
No, you don't.
What do you like?
It'll present itself at some point.
Tiki, I like that.
I'm a believer in karma.
How about asking him to take more than one shower a week?
That is not nice.
He showered like 3 times a day when he was painting his beard.
It's true. I'm a multi-shower guy. Yes. It's not a shower
issue.
Don't you
know these things?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, that Met game postponed, that'll now become the 4th to last game of the season. The Mets and Braves were scheduled to play a 2-game series in Atlanta on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, the 24th and 25th.
Oh, perfect.
They had Thursday night open before the final 3 games of the year. By the way, not a day game. They're scheduled for a night game.
No, no, that makes perfect sense. Gary Cohn mentioned this on the broadcast last night, how they play a 2-game series and there are off days surrounding both of them, which to me is ridiculous to have that many off days. So it always made sense schedule-wise for that to be the case. So
is that an anomaly, a 2-game series with the division rival?
I would say, no, it's actually common. Common's not the right word. It happens, though, put it that way. So, no, this is a good rainout. This is a good rainout because the Mets need an off day, and it's a good rainout because tonight, at Barnes & Noble in Staten Island, there's no Met game to spoil.
Until Thursday night, the 26th, becomes the Mets playing for the season and a Jet Thursday night game.
Oh, God, could you imagine? Could you freaking... By the way, I can't worry about September right now.
I know, that's why this is so ridiculous.
How could you even think that far ahead? I'm serious. I can't even think until next month.
No, I can't think it either. It just means the Mets will play the Braves and the Braves have everything wrapped up. Who knows where the Mets and the Braves are?
Which actually could be good for, them, could for
be,
the Mets.
Yeah, or the Mets are going to be out of it. They're going to be 50 games out and it won't even matter. I'm just looking at the short term. Short term, it's good for the Mets. And short term, it's good for me at My Mets Bible Book Tour tonight in Staten Island.
I'm a loser.
So the opportunity is going to present itself. What about like a big expensive dinner? Does that do anything for you? Not really.
No, because I've done that.
Yeah, he's done that. He's done that, Sean.
It's going to be like game related.
Oh, so that's easy.
Exactly.
Huh.
He's done that. You're Tiki Barber. You went to New Zealand for a day. You've done everything.
Forget that. He's playing the Super Bowl. I mean, what are you really going to do for the guy?
Well, what do you suggest I give him then?
I don't know. What do you get somebody that has everything?
Exactly. You would agree that I should get him something, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Right now, though, Tiki,
I need Abuelo to cook me a meal that includes stuffing.
Well, you'll be waiting forever on that.
No, but here's the problem with that. Now I'm asking him to do me a favor. Gotcha. So it's just me asking someone else to do me a favor as opposed to me actually doing something.
Why don't you take Tiki's car into New York and pump gas for him since he doesn't know how to
pump. Done. You want me to do that? You want me to fill up your car with gas?
My car doesn't need gas.
That's right.
Electric. You want me to clean your car, hand wash it?
I just got it done yesterday.
This guy really has everything. Do you want me to take you to a Mets-Pirates game next week?
No. How about if the Islanders and the Rangers are playing
done
in the playoffs?
Done.
There it is.
Sean, you're out.
Fine. I don't want to sit next to you anyway.
Damn. Well, you don't want to sit next to me? I'm a good person to sit next to.
You just don't want a fight to break out.
Exactly. I like you too much, and you're going to be crying the whole time because the Islanders are big crybabies. I can't deal with that in a 4-1 Ranger win.
By the way, I will explain this tonight at the book event in Staten Island. If you have time, hang out. 7:30, we should be there. But it's a question you can ask me because I was also thinking, what are we supposed to do at a book event? I know we're taking pictures and signing autographs, but I think there's like a Q&A. So I don't know. I guess I'll interview you and you can interview me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we'll interview each other.
We'll just do another hour of the show.
Yeah, basically. But one question you can ask me is, hey, Evan, what do you do on rainouts in your scorebook? Because I already set my book up for tonight's game. It's already set up.
So what do? You just rip it out and...
It's a great question. 7:45 tonight in Staten Island. I'll give you the answer.
I'm a loser.
Exclusive only to the book tour.
Yeah, that's exclusive stuff. Boomer and Gio are throwing like food on each other as exclusive stuff. I'm telling you a secret about my scorecard.
Nerd alert!
Either way, it should be a fun night tonight. 7:30. Staten Island, Barnes & Noble at the Staten Island Mall. We'll be hanging out. Should be a lot of fun. I forgot what else we were talking about, so I'm just going to get back to calls because I'm very confused. We talked about a million things today. Let's go to, Chris in Connecticut. How are you, Chris?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's
Love
up?
Your show.
Good.
Lugie, I like your style, but I got some bad news for you. When Alex Verdugo was with the Red Sox 2 years ago, they were calling him Doogie. That's one.
Evan can back me up. Hold on. Evan can back me up. Beningo gave me the Lugie nickname a decade plus ago. Is that correct?
No. Lugie outdates Verdugo. It's true. Joe is the proof of that. So we have, look, there's just some issues between Lugie and Voogie. I mean, that's the, or Doogie, whatever the
hell. Stop calling him that.
That's his name.
What else would you call him?
What else would I call him?
Call him Alex. I'm Lugie.
I'll call him average left fielder who doesn't hit lefties very well. No, I'm just kidding. I like Lugie.
The
I mean, Doogie.
When a Yankee, when you say Alex, you think of Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, you can't call him Alex.
So, like, what are you saying?
I think you call him Doogie. I think that's his nickname. Yeah, I think we have to live with that.
By the way, that's what we were talking about before that.
That's right.
Oh, we were talking about Verdugo.
No, Alex Rodriguez.
Alex Rodriguez.
That's right.
Yes, you know what? I did want to get to something very, very important. I promise we'll get back to your calls. We've done a lot today. If you want to hear about Anthony Volpe, you can rewind the Odyssey app to about 3:45 and we break down him leading off again and go back to 2 o'clock for the trial of the New York Islander and New York Ranger controversy from last night. But the biggest thing that may have come out of last night in sports was not the Yankee win. It wasn't the Met moral victory. It wasn't the Knick win against the Bulls. And it wasn't even the Islander win over the New York Rangers. The biggest thing to come out of New York sports, I don't just mean like sports in general, like impacting us, is the Giannis injury.
Yeah.
Because,
great point.
In my opinion, and I have said this on the air numerous times, I believe the New York Knicks can beat anybody in the Eastern Conference. They can lose to anybody in the Eastern Conference in terms of playoff teams, except for Boston and Milwaukee. Now, I know there are Knicks fans that disagree with me, especially with the way you played Milwaukee recently. I don't think you beat the Bucks in a 7-game series. But I also said the other day after Julius was ruled out for the season, and I heard a lot of kind of hand-wringing from Knicks fans, giving up from Knicks fans. I gave you the pep talk. And part of my pep talk is sports is a funny game. You never know when an injury is going to pop up, and you never know how that's going to change the complexion of the NBA playoffs. The way Julius Randle being hurt changes the complexion of what you feel the Knicks' chances are.
Yeah. And you can argue in some ways it's actually been for the better.
I think it's only for the better if he was going to be a diminished Julius Randle in the postseason.
Well, I'm just saying because you've now identified other ways to score from Deuce to even Josh Hart now seems less reluctant to shoot. There was a point in the season where he was just reluctant to shoot. He was always giving up or always throwing the extra pass. Whether it's the big Ragu and his ability to knock down threes and obviously OG, it just feels different. The ball moves a ton.
They've learned to play without him.
Exactly. So they've learned to play without him, and they've won a lot without him. So they've created a way to win without Julius Randle, and that's a positive. But, you know, just to get to the Giannis thing, because they downplayed it. He pulls his calf. He goes down. Non-contact is nothing. He's just running back up the court. He goes down. They check it out. They say, hey, you know what? It's nothing. It's just a calf injury. The Achilles is completely intact. That's what you kept hearing.
Right.
And it sounds so familiar.
Oh, does it?
To what we heard about
say
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, no. I was thinking of something different.
No. You're thinking
of KD. But that's a good point. Yes, I am.
But it was the same thing. Oh, Aaron Rodgers got a calf injury. Yeah. No, he's just practicing through it. This whole preseason. That's all you heard. He's fine. He's fine. He's going to be all right. He's going to wear a sleeve. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. As soon as he had to do something truly active, it went. So if you have a calf injury, there is a high likelihood, especially as an elite athlete, that you are going to tear your Achilles.
I think you're right.
And so if you're the Bucks, what are you doing? Hey, Giannis, rush back?
No.
Or next season is probably more important. You being healthy for all of next season is probably more important than us trying to fit you in to the playoffs in a week and a half or whenever it is. It's next Saturday, right? Or two Saturdays from now. To fit
a week from Saturday.
Right. So it's he's not playing, especially not in the first round.
No, I'll tell you this right now. I'll make you this prediction, and this is why everything changed. And this is why that is probably the most important thing to come out of New York sports last night. He's not playing, period. I'll make you that prediction right now. He's not playing, period. Because this calf issue, which they're not going to tell us, he's going to miss 6 weeks or he's going to miss 1 week. They ain't going to tell us anything. And by the way, they shouldn't tell us anything.
Right.
But it is so risky on what it can lead to, and you laid it out with Aaron Rodgers, and I thought of Kevin Durant. Like, we all think of Kevin Durant in Toronto when he came back from the calf issue. And Giannis Antetokounmpo at 29 years old is too important. And here's the other thing about the Bucks: there was always a weakness about them. There was always that thing. They haven't been the same since they brought in Doc Rivers. Yeah, Damian Lillard's a great player, but there's something soft about the Milwaukee Bucks. There's something missing with the Milwaukee Bucks. And if they're matched up with the Miami Heat, does that sound familiar? Even with a healthy Giannis, I think we all would look at that series and say, I'll pick the Bucks, but there's something off. And now you're taking away their soul. As good as Dame is, Chris Middleton still has something left. Mm-hmm. Brooke Lopez can still contribute. Like, as good as they are, and they can be competitive without him, they are not a championship team without him. There's no doubt. And they are in major, major trouble. And I don't think you're going to even see them. Like, that's what I would tell Knicks fans right now. I made you a prediction. I'm never going to even be proven right or wrong about it, because I don't think you're going to see the Milwaukee Bucks, much like last year. You never saw them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Giannis is playing in the first round, and I don't think they're getting out of the first round.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to see Giannis Antetokounmpo play until next year, and it'll be a day-to-day. We'll see how his calf is. But you bring up the greatest point of all. If you could risk something even more serious like a torn Achilles, and you're the Milwaukee Bucks, and he's 29 years old, are you really pushing him back?
No.
To then maybe have him miss all of next year?
No chance.
He will not play again this year.
And it creates an interesting scenario for the Knicks, because the Knicks are now a game out, but they really are two games. You said this yesterday, and it still holds true, because they don't hold the tiebreaker with the Bucks.
Correct. They have to pass the Bucks, which means with three games to go, the Knicks would have to go 3-0. Not crazy, though. They do play Boston. Mm-hmm. And Milwaukee would have to go 1-2.
Yes.
If you go 2-1, they'd have to go 0-3, which, by the way, all those scenarios are on the
and
table.
So it creates an interesting situation with the Knicks, because you kind of want to sit right where you are right now. You want to sit at the 3. You don't want to get the 2 and potentially face the play-in winner. And at 3, you have a favorable matchup, whether that's Cleveland who falls or
Indiana. Yes.
It's the favorable matchup.
Yes.
And so you kind of like want to win one and maybe win the second one and then leave it up to decision in the third game. Like, you kind of want to split right here.
So,
because you don't want to be in the 2 seed.
I agree that right now, the way the 2 seed falls, it's not appealing. Mm-hmm. I don't think any Knicks fan. And by the way, this isn't to say you're going to lose to them. It's, would you really want to play Philly or Miami in the first round versus playing Indiana or playing Cleveland? The answer, look, we don't have to argue it. It's obvious. The answer is no.
Right.
But this is a dangerous game.
Of course it is.
Just go win your games. Let the chips fall where they may. If they're the 2 seed and that means Miami or Philly, it is what it is. I think when you try to get too cute with this kind of stuff, we can do it as fans. It just backfires. So go play what's in front of you. I don't know how serious Boston's going to take the game tomorrow night. We'll get into that a lot more tomorrow, because the Celtics have everything wrapped up. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if I'm Mazzulla and I'm looking at these injuries, I want to wrap my guys up in bubble wrap.
Agreed.
I'm afraid.
Yeah. And at the 2 seed, you avoid the Celtics longer, which is really the ultimate thing. Because if you think that's the one team you can't beat, the longer you could avoid Boston.
3 seed does that too, though, Luke.
Right, that's true.
Mm-hmm. That's
and hopefully
why
they could get picked off by Miami or something.
But I think this, we can't overanalyze.
That's the thing. You just have to win your games, get healthy.
We can hope things happen.
Right.
But they can't. The Knicks can't. The Knicks can't start scripting out the next 3 games how they would love for it to finish for themselves.
Yeah.
They just have to go play.
Well, and also be careful, because the Bucks play the Magic twice.
Mm-hmm.
And so, now the Magic lost last night, so the Knicks are a game ahead. But what if you lose and now you fall behind Orlando?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could find yourself slipping. And I agree. Here are the priorities I would have as a Knicks fan, more so than my first round matchup. As important as the first round matchup is, I want to make sure I'm not in line with Boston, and I want home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah. So don't fall to 5. Just basically stay at 3. You want to be right where you are.
Just win your games, play good basketball, and stay healthy going into the postseason. But this was my point last week about any Knicks fan, you know, looking around and saying, oh, we're screwed now. Julius is out. I give up. Never give up, because other teams get injuries too. And you never know when they're going to happen. Remember when Kevin Garnett got hurt in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it happens. Remember? Oh, remember when my team lost everybody in the playoffs? I remember that. You all should remember that. And that is why, not that you should root for injury, because I don't think anybody's sitting there saying, oh, Giannis is hurt, this is great. But injuries happen. They've affected the Knicks season, and they can affect everybody else. And that's why that was huge last night. I don't think Giannis plays again this year.
To be fair, I wasn't one of the Knicks fans that gave up, of course. But you got to remember, we didn't get the Anunoby news till the next day. And there was still a lot of cloud of doubt whether he was going to come back at all. Mm-hmm. So that flipped everything. Once OG came back, and you know this, when he's in the lineup, they are as good a team as any team in the NBA. So really getting Anunoby back the next day, that made the Julius thing a lot easier to digest.
You know why you didn't give up? You know why you didn't give up?
Yeah, I know why. You know why? Because, and this is for you, Alex Verdugo, if you're taking batting practice right now, put me out of Yankee Stadium, because Lord knows you bump me for the Yankee games. The Lou Gower doesn't exist when they're Yankee games. The Knicks have dudes. They have dogs, and they're gonna do damage.
That's right. You tell them.
Doogie.
See? We needed to hear that, Lou.
That's what we needed.
We needed to hear it.
Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 list coming up in a few minutes. More of your phone calls at 877-337-6666.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.